Guys, welcome back to the 69th episode of the 443 podcast. I'm Matt, joined by my friend Reese. We're going to recap the Boxing Day. Get us started, Mr. Reese.
Huge weekend ahead, or that we just experienced, and a huge week ahead of games as well that we'll be covering with you guys into the first game of the slate. Going back to Thursday's Boxing Day, we have Chelsea at home losing to Fulham 2-1 with a stoppage time winner from Muniz. Matt, what were your thoughts on this game?
I didn't get to watch this game when it happened, but I was like, Fulham earned a draw. I was like, okay. And then you sent me a text. I was just like, I felt bad for you because I know how those late minute equalizers or winners feel. Like against City, man, it ripped my soul out. Like I wasn't okay for like probably 6 hours. And to have it you be your local rival too. I mean, you don't consider him, but I consider Fulham a local rival.
Not
Your
even a
biggest
mile
local.
down from Stamford Bridge. That's how close Fulham is.
If you stand on one of if you can see him from, I could see the edge of Fulham's from when I went to Stamford Bridge. If I wasn't told what it was, I wouldn't know what it was.
And I'm going to echo everything that you pretty much said there. I mean, the Fulham just completely outplayed Chelsea, pretty much from the second half on.
Yeah, I
And
was gonna say from what I saw, the highlights really picked up at 48 minutes into the 48 minutes total in the game, not counting the stoppage time in the first half.
yeah, no, exactly. And what stood out to me was where Chelsea were exposed was Anthony Robinson, our U.S. men's national team left back. He completely destroyed Gusto down the right flank, and it caused Neto to basically play right wing back for Chelsea. And with that, it basically turned into a transitional game, which Fulham is going to win every time with the talent they have
And
at
not
transition.
to jump ahead too much, but I want to make a point. So keep in mind the team company, the people who own Fulham, they also drew our St. Cherries today too.
Yes, undefeated at home.
They own the Jacksonville Jaguars and AEW Wrestling. I know you don't follow wrestling as much as I do, but
I'm here.
AEW is on a downward trend. The Jacksonville Jaguars have never been good. Yet they have a Fulham team that I think is like in the top six right now.
Yeah, Fulham are climbing. Isn't it Amir Khan or something like that? Something Khan?
Yeah, I'm
Know him
more familiar with the
because.
Santoni Khan.
Gotcha. I only know them because of AEW, actually, from social media, because I guess there was some drama, I don't know, early in the year last year with him, AEW or something like that. But that's all I've heard. So, I mean, but yeah, they're doing a great job with Fulham and
It amazes me when you have multiple organizations under you, and one is doing an outlier and doing good. The other one's never had an upward trajectory. They've been flatline. The other has been on up and then gone down. And then the other one is like middling and gone to the moon almost.
very true, because if you think of like Arsenal, they have the Kroenkes. When the Rams won their Super Bowl following that year, Arsenal started to climb up the table and
And
become.
the Denver Nuggets.
Exactly.
And when they had the Avalanche have done had fits and starts with them. Real Salt Lake hasn't had much success, and I don't know if I'm missing anyone else. Do they own the Colorado Rockies too?
That I'm not too sure on.
If they do, then but they've had organizations that go like in waves,
Well,
so
that's what
it's
I'm.
interesting.
Yeah, and just going back to the game here, one thing that Fulham just executed very well was just being able to stay structured out of possession and in possession even. And whenever someone would come be caught out of position, it was pretty much Fulham taking over. So that's something that.
They're a great in transition team. I saw that against Arsenal and Anthony Robertson. He did some amazing work today. I got highlights in my phone, like beamed directly to me. They're calling him Jedi now, Jedi Master. I
He
guess
might
he's a
be.
Star Wars fan.
You can argue that he is the second best player on the men's national team at this point. And I don't even think there's really much of an argument with it. He might be.
No,
He
right
is.
now it's Pulisic, him, and I
There's a
guess
few
what's it?
options. I mean, you look at guys like Wes McKennie, Tyler Adams, Pepe, not Pepe. Timothy Weah is pretty good, but yeah, nobody's gone to that level of Pulisic and Robinson yet, which is good for us. And just final thought on the game, I expected this. I put a Chelsea draw in this as my prediction, end up being a stoppage time winner for Fulham, but it Chelsea were just outplayed, and
Well, and this
the
is
fact
what I've been noticing, like now that I last season and this season, teams go on runs, and there's certain times you don't want to play certain teams. Like Forest broke Everton today, and Fulham broke you. You guys were both on upward runs. They just got lucky, and you allowed them to play their game, and you didn't impose your game on them in the last half.
Exactly.
Just like I was saying about Liverpool, they were lucky because a lot of times they had to face top tier opposition. They were on a downward trajectory, or they were at their bottom.
But they were able to withstand and still somehow find some sort of clinicalness, which is where Chelsea lacked in that game.
Like I've noticed with Arsenal, they've never gotten in a rhythm this season.
Gotcha.
And that's to their detriment right now. But you guys were in your rhythm. I want to see how you respond because you guys play tomorrow, right?
That is correct, and against the Lloyd family Ipswich. So we'll cover
Oof.
that in the predictions. Credit to Fulham,
I'm sorry,
huge, huge
Mom.
win. I think that's the first Fulham win at Stamford Bridge since like early, mid 1900s. So I think it might be Fulham's biggest win in their history for quite some time. So credit to Fulham.
I might fact check that for next week because I
I
think
want,
they.
hey, Matt. The one thing I will not do is lie on this podcast. You could fact check it. They have not beaten Fulham has not beaten Chelsea at Stamford
When
Bridge.
you say 1900s, you're saying the
Like
19.
1950s, 60s,
Okay. I
like
was gonna
mid.
say, I mean, Chelsea haven't been that good for long swaths of their life.
No. Yeah, mid 1900s when I was roaming the streets with who's Winston Churchill? Sorry to my fellow Brits. Me and him were corresponding. Later in his life. But into the next game here, guys. The December Deitch run continues. We have Man City at home drawing Everton 1-1. Matt, we'll get into City obviously in today's games for the weekend, but the struggles continued, and against a team that has now drawn three straight from Arsenal, Chelsea, and now City. What were your thoughts on this game?
Which game were you talking about? Sorry, I was trying to find the fact check.
City Chelsea or City Everton.
Oh. Or I didn't get to watch this game. I just like we were talking before the podcast. I woke up and was getting ready for work to this game. I had it on in my pocket. And City did just not look great at all. And like I know Erling got his confidence back today, but who does the old guy who just rattled his cage on Boxing Day for Everton?
The old guy,
He's like 36.
the center back,
Yeah.
James Tarkowski,
No, that's not it.
Seamus Coleman. I
Seamus
don't know.
Coleman, that's who did it.
I gotcha. Just really quickly, Matt, for your fact check, it was Fulham's first win at Stamford Bridge since 1979. So my bad,
Okay.
I was about 19, 20 years off on that one.
No, and you're good. I had found it. I just haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Yep.
I was just, no, because I know they had won at Stamford Bridge in like the dying days of the league of top flight league before it became the Premier League.
Right. My bad.
No, because I had researched it for my book. It hadn't happened in a long time.
Gotcha.
I knew it had happened at some point. I thought it was 82. I thought it had been like 40 years, but I would.
You were close. 3 years off ain't too bad,
Yeah.
But back to this game.
Yeah.
City more of the same problems for City. Kind of I think Deitch pretty much used the tactics that previous teams did against City, and that's just let them have possession. Close up the box, do not let them get into the box, and you'll be fine. And that's exactly what happened. And they had that opportunity with Bernardo Silva early. I thought things were going to look up, and then Ndiaye for Everton in the 36 minute before halftime equalized.
And what I found interesting was I saw them trying to do things in this game. The last couple of times I watched City, they just didn't look like they had anything. Savinho was looking better in this game. Whoever got the penalty for Haaland set them up to win the game, and he just failed.
Oh yes, I forgot. I'm happy you brought that up. And that pretty much sums up City's
I
run.
think it was Silva who set it up,
Yeah, it was.
the
And I
penalty.
forgot about that. It's great that you brought that up. That summed up City's season so far, and it's just down to confidence and the flow of what City have been. That penalty from Erling Haaland is not an Erling Haaland penalty at all. Like, that thing usually breaks the net when
Yeah.
he shoots. That was a
But
pass directly a little bit to the right of Jordan Pickford. But man, that's
steal
just
one of
not.
your quotes, an unstoppable force met the immobile object of Jordan Pickford.
Very true. Very true. I did forget that Pickford was in goal as well, but
Dude, did you see him get all psyched up? Like,
maybe the tongue out, the tongue out thing that he
I
did to Hall,
know.
maybe that's what kind of provoked him to not put power into his shot. I don't know, man, but
Well, I mean, so I'm not tall like Erling, but I'm 5'11". I'm taller than many people I meet. And certain smaller people kind of terrify. Like my dad is 5'7". And I know not to mess with my dad. Like you can push him, but I know when I push him to a certain point, it's just better to not to stop because he has a little Jordan Pickford in him.
exactly.
And
You
he's not going to care if you got 5 inches and 2 inches of reach on him. He's going to go. And he's got, if you don't stop him, he's going to.
the favorite thing, my favorite I've never, been in any sort of altercation my thousands of years of living, but what I will say is anytime someone tried to test me, I would simply say, I don't care if I lose. All I want to do is land. So you could win the fight, but if I get to hit you, I'm satisfied, and that's my motto,
Well,
So
like Jordan Pickford reminds me of like what the feudal Celtic peoples were like when the Romans faced them. Sometimes if you don't, they just run up on you, and if you can't stop them, they're gonna take you apart.
yeah, and Pickford's one of those guys is he will talk to you regardless of what the score line is,
Yeah.
whether 6-0 or they're winning 6-0. Pickford is inevitable, as
Oh,
you
he
said.
was in his element too, man. Sheamus set him up and Jordan knocked him down. It was almost like the verbal and physical version of like when you stand behind somebody and you push them over them.
Exactly. Yep.
That's what happened. Sheamus put the nugget of in his head and then he looked over. He's like, stay humble, eh? He looks over and he sees a ravenous little man with like slapping his head. And it's just like.
Matt, I want to check where everybody is in the table before we go into our predictions, just as an end of the year checkup with them. But I'm very interested to see where Everton have ended up
I think they're 16th.
16th. Okay. Right
But
into Everton. Yep.
where are we heading next?
Into the next game here, guys. We have a quick recap probably for this game. We have a 0-0 draw, a nil-nil draw between Bournemouth and Crystal Palace. Matt, unfamiliar for these two teams to be in a drawless game, I should say. Two teams that are definitely front-footed. I did not expect this result. What were your thoughts on this game?
Well, I find this crazy because Bournemouth got two draws in under a week. They drew their game today. And this is something I didn't expect. Glasner was on the way up, and Areola was flying high. And I think they canceled each other out.
Right.
Because I didn't get to watch this much of this game, but there were a lot of things. I don't know, because I'm barely remembering the recap. But I think we just leave it at that to not,
Yeah, what I will
speak what we
say
don't
is,
know.
yeah, for sure. What I will say is, the good news is Bournemouth ended the year, ended December with an undefeated month. It wasn't a tough run of games or anything like that. They beat teams like Manchester United, they beat Ipswich, they beat Spurs. So no one really like in the upper echelon of the football standings yet. Yes, that was a slight dig at United and Spurs. It was more of a joke, though, our fellow United and Spurs
And they're
fans.
below 10th, man. They need to get it together.
I'm just saying it off stats. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So. But congrats to Irola on a good month of December. They'll be excited to go into January with some decent form. Into the next game here, we have Newcastle at home, beating the dog piss out of Aston Villa with a straight John Duran red card in the 32nd minute. We'll have to talk about the red card first. Matt,
They
what are your thoughts?
lion walked Aston Villa, man. This was brutal.
I want to talk about the red card first.
I thought he deserved it.
I did not think he deserved it. And what I will say is, anybody who's played football as an attacker, if you are in the midst of falling, and maybe any sports even, if you're in the midst of falling, it's not easy to avoid every single inch of a player who's falling with you to avoid contact with them. And with Duran, he kind of like steps on his ankle as he's falling, he then steps on his back. But what I didn't see was him full on like pushing press, like force into those, I guess, steps that he was taking. And I didn't think it was fair to give him a red. Why did you think it was a red?
It just looked bad. I don't know how to describe it. Like, so you're in Newcastle. I, as an Arsenal fan, have seen this. The crowd turns and it looks like the Roman Colosseum at this ground. It's same with Anfield. Both these grounds are just cauldrons of, and I think I got caught up in the crowd because it just looked like an ugly fall.
Definitely in those environments, it
I'd have to
also.
rewatch it with a more clinical eye, but when I saw the replay of it on NBC, it looked like a red to me. But it probably could have just been the angle. It could have just been the crowd. It could have been a lot of things that maybe, like the referee, I may have been influenced.
Yeah, thing is, like, I don't know how that's considered a straight red, but the foul in the last week game where the guy had a boot fully to shin wasn't a red. It's just the dodgy calls from FA are continuing to ruin, I guess, the truth in our game and what's consistent and
Don't
what's
let me
not.
forget, we need to talk the spinning elbow from João Pedro in the Brighton game.
That's like I saw someone say
If that had
on
connected, it would have put him unconscious. It would have landed here in the
Oh
temple.
yeah, the let's talk about it now. João Pedro, in the let me just double check the game.
He was
Just really
doing
quick.
straight MMA.
Yeah, it was in yesterday's game against Brentford, a 0-0 draw. But what happened, guys, is he's basically getting tugged on his shirt. João Pedro then does a full 90-degree elbow, like throwing his elbow, and it's basically shooting a gun and not landing. You know what I'm saying? Like he is putting that man's not only his long-term like mental condition, like he could have repercussions from an in like a head injury like that, and there was no review, no fouls, nothing you can call because it technically wasn't anything in the net.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Ars blog has brought it up in his Ars cast, and I brought it up last week where I assistant coached like AYSO soccer, and the number one thing I talked to referees about when I would talk to them was they were committed to the safety of the players. Children, it was a children's game, but other people are starting to notice that they don't seem to be prioritizing player welfare in the English Premier League. When you go and you watch Champions League, or in your case, is it Europa Conference? They have much better refereeing when it comes to safety, at least in the Champions League. You'd have to speak to me on Europa League, Europa Conference, sorry.
No, you're 1,000%. Not even just European leagues midweek. Any other league, La Liga, Serie A. I mean, La Liga is a little bit more corrupt internally than it is refereeing wise, but Serie A, Bundesliga, they are reffed perfectly fine. I don't see anything near as much what's
Contact.
the no, not contact. Conversational, conservational. What's it like where it's like you're not getting canceled, but it's very controversial. Controversial.
Controversial, yeah.
Sorry, I was getting there.
Well, this is so I watched a little bit of South American football. This is almost on without the pure corruption of Brazilian football. This is like the kind of stuff that goes on in some of the like I'm looking forward to seeing River Plate play, but I know it's going to be ref like this, but
Well, my thing is like, the ref that got sacked, David Coote, because my man was hanging out with Snow White, in his off time, and then recording videos like bashing Liverpool, and then saying Liverpool are the biggest cunts when I'm not reffing, and then you get fired because of it. Doesn't it make you think like, hey, what do these other refs think if this guy's talking like this and he's on drugs, obviously, but the truth comes out when you're under the influence a little bit more, I would say, right?
Hey, I have not done the Snow White, but I have done other drugs, and the truth does come out.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's very common when you're drunk. People say when you're drunk, you
I
let your
like mellow. I like downers and the open the mind drugs. I'm not an upper guy.
so and with that, like, I just think there needs to be a total. We've said this countless times. We just need a total revamp in this league, not only for player welfare, but just the what making the right decision needs to be more consistent. It's okay to make mistakes, but
Yeah.
not at this level.
But you need to prioritize the welfare of the players. And that's my thing on this. And it's getting brutal out there because the players are starting to learn what they can get away with. Would it have been a red if that elbow connected? It should have been.
100%,
But I would have cautioned him if I've never
that's an like the ref
I've
that needs.
umpired baseball, but if somebody had done that where they put the bat a little too close to a guy's head and it didn't connect, I would take him aside and I'd be like, You do anything again and you're out of here for that shit.
Yeah, and like if you are VAR for a reason, like you want to make the right decision. So even if it's not a foul, you tell the main referee that's in the middle of the freaking field, you need to talk to João Pedro. He's done something very hostile. If he would have connected, he would have been suspended for several games, honestly.
Well,
So
let's take it back to Man City a couple weeks ago with that simulation thing that what's his name did? Kyle Walker.
yeah, that
Kyle
whole head.
Walker was faking head injuries and he got a yellow, but it was for simulation, not because he, did any head stuff.
So why
But
can't he
it's
give
like
a, why can't they, why can't we hand out yellows for potential hostile acts? You know, again, that's coming
they
back to
need to.
putting a gun without landing. It's still a crime, brother. It's still a
Yeah,
crime.
if I walk into a 7-Eleven and I pull out my 9 mil and I menace the guy but don't want anything, that's still menacing. That's a crime.
Doesn't matter how you spin it. You're still trying to commit
Yeah,
some sort of crime.
yeah.
Say what's up to my cat, by
Aw.
the
But so back to
way.
Newcastle, beyond the red, once they got the man advantage, it just became a pummeling contest.
Again, Aston Villa's woes continue. Newcastle starting to find some form. Congrats to them. Into the next game here, we have something that we may need to talk a little bit more about in the next game after as well. Nottingham Forest picking up another 3 points, beating Spurs 1-0. Yes, and this time it comes at Ange's cost. Matt, I don't know what this team is. I don't know how they continue to do it. We both had high expectations. I don't think we had them in a title race, which
No,
we'll be
I actually
discussing.
had them in the bottom half on my predictions.
I don't think I had them anywhere above
I
top
think I
five.
had them in like the 10th. My ceiling was 10th. My floor was like 13th. They were one of those teams like I'm firmly bottom mid table.
So I actually have my prem predictions here. I had them 13th, so I had them well out of the relegation race, but
Yeah,
yeah,
I had
not
him
this high.
firmly ensconced in mid table.
Right. So here's what I'm getting at. You know, this team is continuing to amaze me. We knew the quality they possessed. We didn't know they had this much type of chemistry that Santos has built with them. So this was a huge win, and they made it look comfortable as well. Although it was a 1-0 win, they pretty much absorbed anything that Spurs threw at them.
They had 1.3 something XG to Spurs 1.0 something XG. It was a pretty on the XG type game, but tight game. But I mean, in statistics, they were almost dead even. Spurs had more shots and one or thir to 13 to 10, and one more shot on target 4-3. And had Spurs had 71% possession. Forrest literally got their goal at 28 minutes and then just sat back and waited. And absorbed everything.
And that's what Forrest has been executing perfectly against these bigger sides. So a huge win. We'll talk about them more in a little bit here. Into the next game here, we have West Ham beating Southampton 1-0. Gerard Bowen on the score sheet again. He is inevitable. Matt, what were your thoughts on this game?
Let me get caught back up. Sorry, my thing jumps me back when I go look at statistics, and I gotta find where I was at. I didn't get to watch this game, but honestly, I'm glad West Ham picked up a win. I'm sorry it came at the expense of Southampton, but Lopetegui needs to do something because we'll talk about what just happened.
Before the results today, you know, in their last four games, they had 2 wins and 2 draws. So they're definitely starting to pick up some form. But yes, we will talk about them again in a moment. Southampton, this was Ivan Juric's second game with the team. I did not expect too much from this. They are in a relegation fight, but they are going to need to pick up
I was
points.
hoping for a draw for Southampton's sake, but you ready to get into one of the fun games?
Next game up here, guys, we have Wolves 2, Manchester United 0, goals from Matheus Cunha and our patron saint Hwang Ki-chan in the 100th minute, basically, of the game.
Dude, what is going on with Bruno Fernandes? This is his third red card this year.
Yeah, and
What was a double yellow that caused it? But.
I'm sitting here thinking, you know, with what Manchester United are going through and the results that they've had, it's gonna boil, you know, personalities who are big in your dressing room. And Bruno Fernandes is a big personality who expresses himself on the field, who a lot of rivals hate. But if he's on your team, you're one of those guys you love. But
Yeah.
what we saw is the Bruno Fernandes that, as a rival, we see.
He's my Gabriel. I love Gabriel but I bet you dislike him. Gabriel
And
Magalhaes.
right, and that just comes with it. So I don't know, man. This United team is having a bunch of question marks all over. I don't know. What were your thoughts on this game?
I love the meltdown on social media of so the play on the field was, sorry, there's two different things. I'm loving the meltdown, but the play on the field was they just did not look like a football team. Bruno was trying to keep him in the game. He couldn't do it himself on his own, and everything fell apart. Kobbie Mainoo looks like the youthful exuberance is gone. Rasher and Garnacho are just seem to be afterthoughts on the two main attackers on your team just seem to be diva afterthoughts. I don't know what United's going to be. And I know people are already raising the alarm on Amorim, and I'm with Goldbridge. You can't fire the guy right now. You brought him in and you've given him no time to gain players.
Yeah, I'm worried about the whole Graham Potter comparisons that he's been getting lately, where he may just get treated unfairly, but by the end of the season, he may not even have a job. And I really hope that's not the case with Amorim, because I was one of those Potter truthers who think there was something there with him, but it was at the expense of, a bunch of problems at Chelsea at the time. Here, it's very similar. What I will say, Ineos, let's talk about Ineos for a second. Very questionable things going on in the background. I don't know how much debt Manchester United are in, but the fact that they are cutting charity payments, they are not doing any sort of charity work for the Christmas time frame, I guess, this year. They're also cutting bonuses from their employees that are actual staff members that work at the stadium, maintenance, whatever, concession, whatever. And they're not paying their bonuses for Christmas either. And this is something that United, big clubs do all over the world. And this is probably a top three biggest team in the world that we're talking about. And it's very eagerly similar to this Barcelona situation as well, but not as bad.
It reminds me of, do you remember a couple of years back, maybe a decade now, when Wenger would talk about how he has to, they were talking about him in the January window where they were saying, you have to do this, you have to do that. And he's like, what are you talking about? I have to do. I have to look up for everyone who works here from Santi Cazorla to the tea lady, to the guy who fixes the water heater. We are a club. And I remember, you remember he got lambasted for that? People are like, oh, we're gonna have to put the tea lady out at defensive midfielder. And it's like, no, he was saying we look out for our employees. Even the ones that aren't on the pitch are important to how we operate. And Arteta, and I know I harp on about Arsenal guys, but it's the tea club I have the most experience with because we hear things when and it's like you see that they have a culture of caring for the people who make the club the club. It's not the people on all the people on the pitch. It's everyone who makes the club the club.
Exactly. And we haven't never heard with Barcelona, with all they're going through, they did not cut charity payments, donation, or bonuses to their staff, because that's basically the backbone of your club. The players represent the club. They are the embodiment or not the embodiment. They are representing what your club does
They're the
and
tip of the spear, but they're not
exactly.
the only one who make up the spear.
Exactly. You have medical staff who literally keep these players healthy, especially with the December run-in. And it's just these people deserve just as much praise and recognition as the players do in a different light. And you do that by giving them bonuses and more money because they don't get to pay the same amount of money or recognition. So
Hey, Reese, just to let you know, before we move on to the next game, we're running out of time. So why don't you want to call it once we're done talking about Man U versus Fools, stop, and then we'll pick up again with the rest of it.
yes, sir. What I will say, just to wrap it up, it's good to see Wolves win again. It seems like they're starting to pick up some form. I don't think either of us thought Gary O'Neill was the problem, but it looks like a little bit of change in the dressing room was needed, and it looks like it's starting to work out for them. So, huge credit to Wolves.
All right, you good to go? Stop, and I'll give you a call.
All right. Yep.
Thank you, sir. All right, guys, we are back. Thank you for that break. All right, sir, what game are we going to next?
Into the last game of the Thursday slate, we have Liverpool beating Leicester 3-1. Goals from Gakpo, Curtis Jones, Salah, and Jordan Ayew actually kicked off the scoring for Leicester within 5 minutes of the game. Matt, what were your thoughts on this game?
So this is me from an Arsenal fan. I was praying that Leicester could hold on, but in my heart, I knew they couldn't.
Yeah, this was a pretty obvious like Liverpool turnaround win.
Oh,
You know
I
what?
just
You know. it makes it so obvious when Liverpool are going to make a comeback when the other team scores in the first half. I don't know why, but it seems like when they concede, it's inevitable
And
they're
you
going to
can
get.
even see it too, like the midfield clicks, the Gravenberg guy,
Yep.
like starts to move. Salah starts to just take guys' ankles, and you can see the machine turn on. I think it's turned on. When was the goal? Yeah, sorry, no, it was the 49th minute one. I didn't. Cody Gakpo equalized kind of out of nowhere to me, but. At the 49th minute one, you could just see the machine turn on, and at the end of the game, you saw it turn on again.
Yeah, and
Like
this has been
they could have made the 6-0 if they or 6-1 if they wanted to.
and this has been Liverpool all season, right? They've just been a team that has been basically resistant to being down 1-0, and we saw that a bunch last season. It's pretty much historically from Liverpool since Klopp arrived, where it takes 2 to 3 goals to kill off a team like this. And again, Matt, I'm going to gargle their nuts later, so we'll save it for later. But this was a huge win for Liverpool to continue their title run when Chelsea dropped points as well.
So I say we just go to the score because we could discuss the major event from Brighton Brentford. Let's just say it was a nil-nil draw. It was a nasty game. And then move on to Arsenal Ipswich so we can save some time.
Yeah, Brighton Brentford, outside of the João Pedro people's elbow that he tried to deliver. not much happened in that game, but I will say it was entertaining for what I saw. Brighton really looked like they should have won that game, but yes, a nil-nil draw is a nil-nil draw. Arsenal at home beating Ipswich 1-0. Matt, wasn't pretty, wasn't a
No.
lot. What were your thoughts on this game?
I've seen them play without Saka in the Champions League before Arsenal, and this was not that team. There was some game they did, I think it was the PSG game where they didn't play Saka, and they won like 3-0. And they just did not do it. They just looked sluggish. They looked bad.
Yeah, but I will say the Trossard assist to Kai Havertz, that was a
Oh,
beautiful
that was
assist from,
clean.
yeah, Trossard made that out of nowhere basically with the movement down the left flank. So I really like that goal, or sorry, the assist to Kai Havertz for the goal. Maybe you know what it is, Matt? Maybe they were just trying to be like, hey, you know, Matt's mom's watching this game. You know, we don't want to make it too bad because Mama Lloyd is watching. Let's keep her chill today.
So I think that is the thing in Kai Havertz's brain, but I think the rest of the team was so. A lot of these teams had a high turnaround. Arsenal has a lot of time in between the game, the Crystal Palace game, and this game. But between Brentford, their next game, which is coming on January 1st, they do have the quickest turnaround of any other team when they play again
Wednesday.
after that. They play on Saturday. They go from Wednesday to Saturday. While a bunch of teams already played today and then they get the full week until Saturday, Arsenal goes from Wednesday to Saturday and they play Brighton. So they played Crystal Palace, Brentford, or Ipswich, Brentford, and Brighton in the same amount of time, but unlike the other teams, they have different rest periods. So I think they're trying to hold their powder. At least that's what I hope that they have more in the tank. They're just holding it on for the next two games, as they do play better teams coming up in the next two games.
Yeah, Arteta's gonna have to be very careful with how he utilizes his squad over the next 2 to 3 games. Yeah, because for some reason they made your guys' schedule different than the rest of the league. Like everybody played on Boxing Day, but they're like, ah,
Except
save
for
me.
Brighton, Brentford, Arsenal, and Ipswich.
Well, then they're like, okay, you know, everybody gets Sunday, Monday, maybe even Tuesday. Ah, Arsenal will play January 1st, and then yeah, we'll throw them back into the mix with everybody else. So yeah, a little weird from the Premier
It's like
League.
they front-loaded our rest, and then everyone else, they backloaded it.
So, hey, at least we got something to watch on January 1st, you know?
Hey, I'm looking forward to it. And if you want to record a quick pod so we can cover the games tomorrow and Arsenal and then preview maybe a little bit more depth preview, we can do that too.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. I'm down.
Yeah.
Let's head into sorry, credit to Arsenal for the win. My apologies. Into
Oh
the
yeah,
summer
no worries.
here. Manchester City finally gets their win, their first win of December, their first win in as many games as they've been plundering
Haaland got a
Premier.
goal.
Haaland
And
scored.
Savinho.
Yes, yeah, Savio and
Savinho.
Erling
Oh,
Haaland.
Savio there. Thank you.
Very good. The right name is Savinho, but the streets call him Savio. I know.
Oh, okay.
This
My
was
bad.
No, you're good. This was a comfortable win for City. Even though it was against Leicester, you have to start somewhere to get on the win. So I'm happy for Savio and Erling Haaland to get their goals, because they're going to need to build some confidence these next 6 months if they want to finish in the top four.
He's been humble too long.
Exactly. So there's going to be they have to start building some momentum, because they're going to need to close out this season strong, because Nottingham Forest is not going away. This top four race is not just a fight between two teams. There's four or five teams that are actually competing
Chelsea, Arsenal, Poole, Forest, City, and Bournemouth is in it too.
the top. Yeah, so I would even say Liverpool are just fighting for the league at this point. I would consider them a lock for top
Yeah,
four,
actually, you're right. They're a lock for top four.
but on a technicality, that is very true. They could fall out of that race.
I
So,
mean, I hope it doesn't happen. Let's say the Saudis come in with an offer that nobody can resist. Mo leaves in January, and then the next weekend, Erling, or sorry, not Erling, Van Dijk pulls a hammy like Saka. The
yeah,
season's done.
exactly. And it would take a lot for that.
Yeah.
Just Liverpool, man. Credit to City. This was another big win for them.
It wasn't pretty, but it was a good win.
Yes, it was needed for sure. And you know what? At the end of the day, winning builds confidence. Hopefully, they can get a little bit from this. I know it's nothing. Again, you're facing one of the relegation teams, but you got to start somewhere.
Well, and they have to build their confidence because they have two games to salvage their Champions League. Well, actually, they can't. So in Champions League, City can improve their position. They can, but maybe they don't want to because if they stay where they're at, they get a chance to face a team they could probably beat. But they
Very
got
true.
two games left to play in the Champions League, and then they're going to be forced into a playoff. They're going to have to play a two-leg playoff against one of the other teams. And then they get at the worst start more they have a bad starting position against the teams that remained in the top eight.
I know this is the kind of the off the dome question. Is there two legs in the playoff, or is it just a playoff game?
No, it's a two double, it's a traditional home and away.
Okay, cool.
So like let's say like Lyon or shoot, I'm trying to think of a team that's up there. Atletico Madrid. If Atletico Madrid draws City and City beats Atletico Madrid, then they would be the bottom tier because they're like two spots away from the drop zone when they go in. So they would probably face somebody like a Liverpool in the opening game of the Champions League.
Yeah, you're going against one of the top seeded teams
Yeah.
there.
You face an Arsenal, Liverpool, or I forget who's in second,
Madrid, one of the,
Barcelona.
yeah. Credit to
And Real
City.
Madrid is down with them.
Oh,
They're in the
that's
bottom. They're two spots above Man City.
into the next game here. We have Crystal Palace getting a win here, beating Southampton 2-1, the Silver Eagles. Goals from Chalobah and Eze to secure the win, after going down 1-0 from Tyler Dibling in the 15th minute. Matt, what were your thoughts on from what you've seen from this game?
This game was going on with a lot of, I watched chose to watch Everton Nottingham Forest, and I saw bits and pieces of this game, and I just was so happy because from what I saw, Southampton could have won this.
That's what I saw as well. Eze's goal was just a rocket down the bottom left corner. It was a beautiful goal.
Glad
And
to see him back in form.
that's what I was going to say. It's good to see your best player getting on the score sheet, and hopefully Palace can kick on from here.
Because he needs to shake the Eze and Olise, because Olise is gone. It's just Eze now. You need to make it your team.
Exactly.
Eze and Mateta, if you have to.
Into the next game here, we have Everton at home losing to Nottingham Forest 2-0. Chris Wood and Morgan Gibbs-White, the two X factors for Nottingham Forest. Matt, you watched this game. Hit me with your thoughts, sir.
I think both our teams are trash, apparently, because we couldn't beat Everton, and Nottingham Forest just goes in one clean goal, one goal against the run of play, and they win 2-0.
You know what
We
will
both
decide
banged
that?
on their door and we couldn't make it through the fortress.
You know what will decide that is when Liverpool play Everton in their game in hand. That's when we know how good Forest are. Because if Liverpool draw Everton, hey, Forest is winning the league. I don't make the rules. That's just the way
Leicester
it is.
2.0, baby.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm going to echo everything you said here. I don't know what it is with Forest right now. They're able to draw teams out of their low blocks if they are in it, like Everton, and then just score goals. I don't know why they make it look easier than Arsenal or Chelsea have been.
So a couple of teams have started to shift and move, do their set pieces like Arsenal did. and teams are starting to observe what other teams do. I think whatever Arsenal needs to look, and Chelsea too, need to look at what happened in this game and figure out what they did and copy those tactics. I see Arteta with a bunch of guys who are from Spain and Portugal sitting in a room watching film with laser pointers at different players on the screen this week, because they got to figure out what they did. Because like, but I think we're starting to see the investment that happened about, was it 2 years ago when they came up? And remember, they put stupid money. They were like the second highest spending team behind you guys.
I think it was 3 years ago, and
Okay.
then from there they've been spending quite a bit of cash, and that's what we've been saying is like this Forest team is not a relegation quality side, but they haven't had the management to sort of propel them into that conversation that we kind of had them in. But now they're exceeding expectations with the great manager and a great
And
result.
how bad does this make? So Spurs, you have to, Nuno was Spurs manager, and you sacked him after like 6 weeks, and now you see him doing this.
Thank you, Matt. And this is why I say that, for example, Postecoglou is not the problem. Conte wasn't the problem. Mourinho wasn't the problem. Mourinho at United wasn't the problem. I don't think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was the problem at United. You know, these two teams have problems beyond the coaching. And for some reason, the coaching is always the sacrifice. Or the manager,
Yeah,
sorry.
with United, I think it's just morale. The morale's been low for a decade, but now you're cutting people's money. And that's scary, because now morale was low, but at least I could say I was happy. Like, I went to the last ever game between the San Francisco Giants and the Oakland A's. And every staff member at that game just looked like they didn't want to be there, because they knew they were losing their jobs in 2 months. You know, baseball provides 90 games a season for the home stadium, or 80 games. And these people knew they were okay, but they were just kind of like going through the motions. Nobody tried anything.
Well, it even happened here in our home state of Arizona with the Coyotes. You know, that was a much more emotional experience for the for those staff members, employees, because this is something I wasn't familiar with. We have a big following of hockey fans out here, and a lot of people who took a lot of great pride in the Coyotes team for hockey in Arizona. So, money's a crazy thing.
Yeah, but it's just like the Man United is saying we're in trouble by doing all this cost cutting without giving a reason why they're doing it. If you say, hey, here's our plan, we're cutting these because we need to put this money into the transfer budget, or we have to pay off all this debt so you don't lose your jobs. That's one thing. If I know why I'm not getting my Christmas bonus, I'm not going to be happy, but at least I can kind of go, you know what? At least I still have my job next year. But you're transmitting it like your Circuit City from a few decade ago, where you're just like, we're going out of business, baby.
I struggle to feel empathy for the boards of these two teams with Spurs and United at this point, because like I said, they are ruining what the fans have built from previous ownerships and the tradition that they've had. So, but back to the game, it was a huge, huge win for Forest, especially with the form that Everton were in. We will have to see. We know where Forest are, but we will have to see where Forest are on the table at the end of this episode. Into the next game here, Matt. We have two of our favorite teams, I think, this season. Fulham and Bournemouth drawing 2-2. These guys are the epitome of the Premier League this season. What was your thoughts on this game, Matt?
I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I could not believe that Fulham went back to drawing after that win. But Bournemouth, both these teams I thought could win this game. This was one of those ones where it's just like whoever wants it more. I know that's a cliche.
No, the right. It is exactly the correct thing to say, and you know me, my boy Iraola. He always wants it more. It just depends on if the players want it more. Marco Silva, a tactical prowess, tactico.
That Robinson assist, I think, for the second goal. Bah.
Yeah, dude.
Like, Poch has a player who can do something in the US men's national team.
I really think. He is really starting to become a force. You know, I'm thinking about we had a conversation a couple weeks ago about, you know, left wingers in the Premier League not being so good, left backs in the Premier League not being so good. Maybe it's just Kukurea and a few other guys. Might be Kukurea and Anthony Robinson as two of the best left backs in the league, along with Wait for it. Let me do a quick pause. MLS. Miles Lewis-Skelly out of Arsenal. What a kid. What a promising young prospect.
So we've already talked about Arsenal, but I just want to say that you brought up Miles Lewis-Skelly.
I forgot to
That
mention.
man is not that tall, and he's going head to head with some bruisers and not taking any guff from these men, these grown men. You know, Miles Lewis-Skelly is literally learning to drive right now.
Yeah, no, that's why I
He's
wanted to bring him up.
17 and he's going toe to toe with 30-year-old men.
That's why I wanted to bring him up. I forgot to mention him in the Arsenal game.
It was a weird game, but Miles Lewis-Skelly did a hell of a job. Your boy, the Calvin Phillips, tried to ruffle his feathers and he couldn't do it.
They got a little pulling
He's
each other
looking like
going.
James Franco from the Spring Breakers movie right now, Phillips.
Hey, MLS could turn into that sort of Bruno Fernandes type of personality for you guys, where he just wants to put hands on necks, Roy Keane style. So, junior.
He looked like Paco at the dog park when a dog comes in and tries to bully one of his friends. Like he runs up on, he know he can't win, but he just comes in with that like puffed out chest and presence. Like,
I'm
hey,
here. I'm
don't
here.
touch sprinkles like that.
But yeah, that just this game was great. The Atara chip for the equalizer was cold. A lot of drama with the center backs and the Fulham center back falling down. I forgot which one it was. They were claiming it was a foul. I did not think it was a foul. I thought that goal should have stood as it did. So, what a game. Credit to both sides. These are two of some of the more entertaining teams in the league for a reason. And it was shown again here on display. Matt, only two games left here in the Sunday slate. Let's wrap this one quickly because we want to keep it cool for Postecoglou. 2-2 draw with Spurs and Wolves. Matt, our patron saint, back on the score sheet again. Hwang Ki-chan, our Korean
Two
king.
goals in a week. Our boy, he is back. The Korean guy has returned.
And where was he when Gary O'Neill was around? Was it injury? Was it a lack of trust from Gary O'Neill? Maybe Hwang was the key the whole time with Acuña. These two guys are linking up very well, and I love Jorgen Strand-Larsen for
And
Wolves.
guys, that comment on the Korean guy, I'm quoting Pep Guardiola. We know who Hwang Wee-chan is. He's the
Yeah,
man, and we
that's our.
love him.
And what I will say is, I really like, and I've said this earlier in the season, I really like the Wolves attack with Strand Larsen, Cunha, and I'm glad that Hwang Ki-chan is involved in the mix because those three are a very formidable front line.
Let me ask you, Acuna. So the rumor is that Arsenal is going to approach or is already making approaches for him. He is a Premier League player moving in a season where contractually it sounds like he doesn't need to move and he's not making anything to move. They paid 30 between 30 and 40 million pounds for him. I mean, let's just say 35 because I don't know conversion rates at the time. Pounds sterling. How much do you think Arsenal would have to pay to get him out? I'm thinking 75.
He is, I think he's the Neto range, the 60 to 70 range, which is what they sold Pedro for.
But because
So
this January window, I think 75.
a little bit more. Yeah, that's definitely fair, especially with Wolves technically, quote
And they
unquote.
know that Arsenal needs him.
Well, the thing is, I haven't seen that rumor. I've seen the rumor of like United as well. So it seems like Cunha is one of those hot prospects right now for the big six. So you may even see a Spurs team jump in there. They could use some quality up front with their attack with Son struggling. Cunha has been the best player for Wolves. I think he has like 14 goals and assists on the season already, which is just crazy. So, yeah, I'm loving some Cunha. I'm always down for Cunha to make a big move to a club like
So we
Arsenal.
were talking earlier in the week about Arsenal, to clarify something between you and me. They can't loan any more Premier League players, but they can still do loans from outside the Premier League because they're loaning their backup goalkeeper from Wolves and they're loaning Sterling from Chelsea. So they can no longer take a player from the English leagues, not even from the Championship.
Interesting. Do you
On
think?
loan. They could buy him outright, but they have to but they can borrow from PSG. They've had experience with Real Madrid. We could see something like that.
Do you think Arsenal makes some sort of splash signing in the winter, or do you think
I
they sort of keep
don't. I
it
think they're
relatively?
going to try and go for something. The problem is that they probably wish they had saved their loan on Sterling. And it's sad that Sterling is a player who just doesn't have a home. Like his knee
He is
injury
not.
come back good, but Arsenal fans aren't happy about it because it's like we
Chelsea
wish.
don't want him back.
Yeah, Chelsea don't want him back.
Well,
He's.
this is, and Sterling gets disrespected a lot by fans nowadays, but like real fans know that it's hard to stay consistent. He's been doing this since like he was like 15 years old, it feels
I was
like.
going to say 16. I thought he broke into Liverpool at 16.
That's what I'm that yeah, no, I was making a joke about the 15. Like he's just been so good for so long, and it's hard to stay at that level for this amount of time. And
Well, he's got like what? Three champion or three Premier Leagues to his name?
yeah, no, he's won the Premier League 3 times. There was a year where he had third most calendar goals in the world. Like he's had some great seasons. It's just I think time is running out for him. Al Hilal, Al Ittihad, Al Ettifaq, whatever the fuck that club's name is. Inter Miami.
MBS, my friend meant no disrespect to the clubs you own.
Yes. Sorry, Saudi Arabians. I like your football. Please don't
You
call
guys
me.
can't see it, but we both bowed to the camera.
Yes, indeed. yeah, but I think it's that
Is
time to
Lucas
start.
alone?
I
Okay.
think maybe him and De Bruyne team up at LA Galaxy, your club, hit it up there, I'm sure you take them.
But honestly, man, I didn't like this game came at a weird time. It came in between, like, it was played at the same time as Everton Forest. That was the game I was watching. I just kept seeing little snippets of it, and it just looked like it was a game that Tottenham let get away from them.
Congrats to Wolves on that comeback, because they were down 2-1 before equalizing. So that took a lot of effort, and of course, Strand Larsen, as I said, is a very huge prospect. I think that is a striker that big clubs need to keep an eye on. Like, seriously, I think he is a true number nine box presence. Into the next game here. I'll kick this one off. Liverpool beat the dog piss out of West Ham 5-0.
Dog walked him, man.
Yeah, and it wasn't even close. West Ham had like two or three great opportunities in the first half.
Two from Kudos. Kudos.
He hit the post. Kudus had
The
that one on one
post, and
post.
then that second one that came in the second half. I think he just hit it just wide.
Yeah, so I Liverpool. I said this last week. Liverpool, in my opinion, are the best team in the world right now, and I have very little doubt in my mind that this is even a title race anymore. I think the title's over with, and my categories.
Yeah. I'm still holding on to hope, but as long
No, yeah,
as you don't win it, I'll be happy.
My Arsenal friend is still kind of like living in like the whole Arsenal dreamland where, and I'm not trying to make a diss or anything. I'm
No,
being
I think it's 5% chance Arsenal have. Because
yeah.
we've seen the last 2 years, the team that's been in first at Christmas hasn't won it.
Right. And that's the thing is like there's still like a lot of games left. I'm personally a person who's not reactionary, but from what I've seen, I think Liverpool end up with 90 to 95 points. I don't think Arsenal, Chelsea, Nottingham Forest, I don't think those teams are touching 90 points this season. I just don't see it. Matt.
Unless Arsenal does something crazy.
True. Unless, yeah, Liverpool would have to have a traumatic or a dramatic type of fall to get out of this
Bring
hump.
in Kudos, they pop that Gyökeres the thing, and they just go, let's go.
Matt. Let's go ahead and jump into our previews. Big week of football ahead.
Just
Let's
to
do it.
clarify, I believe that there's a 92% chance Liverpool win this, 5% to Arsenal, the remainder to Chelsea.
Thanks, man. But it's all Liverpool. I think we can agree.
Yeah.
Matt, let's jump into some previews. What do you got for me, sir?
So you just want to do these two games, the four games that are coming up, and then we can record right after,
Yeah,
later in
I
the day
was.
on Wednesday.
Wednesday or early Thursday, if you're available, or we'll
I
talk
got
about
work on Thursday, but I can do it on Wednesday late. I got to go to visit Mama Lloyd on that day.
it. Okay. Wednesday, we'll have to talk about it. We'll
Okay.
talk about
Okay. But so first up, we have Chelsea visits Ipswich. Reese versus my mom. I'm hoping my mom wins.
Can't blame you. What do you have for the score line in this one?
Honestly, though, I think it's going to be 3-1 to Chelsea.
This game reminds me eerily a lot of Luton Forest versus Chelsea last season, where Forest had an equalizer in like the 93rd minute. And I'm still living that traumatic experience from what Fulham did to me, on a nice Sunday morning that I was having, or sorry, Thursday morning that I was having earlier in the week. Matt, I think the Chelsea struggles continue, but I think it's only in the draw form. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw.
Ooh.
But that could just be me being hard on myself and then this team, but it's
Oh,
tough one to call.
the Chelsea's been hasn't lost much this year. Have they been bouncing back? I don't remember because this whole Last half of the year has just been a massive blur. I feel like my brain's been dunked in a blender and just turned on.
Everton was our first loss in 13 games, so we will see how this team bounces back, and I hope it's in a good way.
You mean Fulham?
Or yeah, Fulham. Sorry, yeah, you're right. Thank you. Fulham was our first loss in 13 games, so I mean, I'm interested as well to see how we bounce back.
All right, next up we have Brighton visiting Aston Villa. Oof.
I feel like these teams play every week.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I'm with you. The year's just been a blur.
I think Pedro gets a KO. I think Brighton's going to win this 2-1.
Pedro by knockout in the second round. I'm gonna go with a Villa 2-1 win on this one.
Okay, so we're basically opposites. We both think it's going to be 2-1. We both think different teams. All right. Bloodbath coming. Newcastle visit the falling down, dilapidated fortress of Old Trafford after getting their just teeth knocked down their throat for like 3 weeks now.
United fans genuinely think they are in a relegation fight. I don't think that at all, but what I will say is your struggles do continue, and I have a 2-0 Newcastle win at the Field of Dreams.
I would go 3-0. But real quick, before we move on to Arsenal Brentford, what's the table at the bottom? Like, if United lose and
We'll touch the table after Arsenal
okay.
because I want to go through all these teams, yeah.
All right. Next up, we have Arsenal at Brentford.
Yes.
Arsenal travel over to your side of town to face their old nemesis.
And this is on January 1st, New Year's Day. This is our final podcast of the year, guys. We hope you enjoyed the year just as much as we did, even though, sorry, there was a weird noise outside of my house. We hope you guys enjoyed the year as much as we did. In this one, Matt, I am going to go with a start to the good year for the Goons. I think they find a way to beat Brentford. It's a tough Thomas Frank, th tough Thomas Frank team. But I'm gonna go with a 1-0 Arsenal win.
I'm gonna go for a 2-2 draw.
Gotcha. Why is that?
You know what I hope though, and all this talk, I really hope they get Wisa. That's who I want to see on this Arsenal team.
Him or Mbeumo would be great additions to any
Yeah.
team, but they constantly get overlooked. I don't know what it is. Maybe because Matt, Wissa's name isn't like Anthony Williamsa. I don't know. I try to make a British reference. I don't know. If Wissa was English, he'd be $80 million, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. If Whistle was Thomas Gordon Gibbs,
There you go.
there. I think I got your joke.
Thank you, man. You saved me on that
I tried to
one.
combine all the names of like the super English, like.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on that one. Let's jump into the table here before we wrap up, guys. Our end of the year table. Right now, we have Liverpool in first with 45 points, which is an 8-point lead over Forest right now, who are in second place with a game in hand over Arsenal and Chelsea. Right now, Arsenal are in third place with 36 points on 18 games. Chelsea with 35 points, a point behind. And in fifth place, we have Manchester City with 31 points. 1 point behind Manchester City with 30 points is Bournemouth. Right now in a Europa League spot, which I love to see personally. Newcastle in seventh place with a point behind Bournemouth there with 29. Tied on 29 points in eighth place is Fulham. 28 points in ninth place is Villa. Oof. And their goal difference right now is -3. Not the
Ooh.
season Villa we expected for them to have.
It's not a good evening.
Not at all. And it's not been the winter that we've been expecting from the Night King himself.
Expect him to rain terror and frostbite on people.
That's what I'm saying. You know, to be fair, I'm looking at my Prem predictions, Matt. I've gotten all of these wrong. But let's continue down the road here. In 11th place, we have Tottenham with 24 points. 10th place, I accidentally skipped over, is Brighton with 26 points, by the way. Let's hit the bottom half. Let's make our way from bottom up so we can round out with the 12th place team. In last place with 6 points in December is Southampton. 6 points above them is Ipswich. Leicester is at 14 points, 2 points ahead of Ipswich, and that rounds out the relegation fight. 2 points above them is Wolves. A point above is Everton in 16th place. 15th place belongs to Crystal Palace with 20 points.
Then Manchester United.
14th place is Manchester United with 22 points. And then from there, you have West Ham and Brentford in 13th and 12th in their respective positions. Matt, That was our last podcast of the year. We are going to see you guys very soon, most likely on New Year's Day. I just have to figure out what time I will be home, but I will be keeping Matt updated on that. We've had a special year of podcasting football. We love covering football. We hope to do this for the next 20 years, even if there's four of you guys listening,
Yeah.
even if there's 10 of you guys listening. Me and Matt are here for the long
We
run.
just like
Matt,
talking ball together, man. But
that's fine.
to wrap on the table, so I don't think Man United is in danger of getting relegated, but I think they are in danger. They're going to get sucked into that relegation race if Wolves, Everton, or Palace is able to pull above them. It looks bad, even if you got a 6-point lead over the relegation. It still looks bad if you're in 17th place.
But here's the thing. I remember when, Chelsea were in 12th place, they had talks of being quote unquote relegated. You had Arsenal a couple seasons ago when they first got Arteta.
Dead last after three games.
Yes, because you guys played like Brentford the first very first game of the
Brentford
season.
City and Chelsea.
Yeah. It guys, what I'm trying to get at is be patient with your teams. You guys are not getting relegated.
Yeah. But it does when you're a big team and you're hovering in 17th place, it's gonna look bad. People don't look at the numbers, they just look at the place.
Yeah, no, that's true.
We do judge books by their cover. And 17th place is not where anyone wants to be. But you ready to call it a day?
Matt closes out, my friend.
All right. Live long, watch some football, lads.
Peace.